Okay, have faith in God, right? Have faith in God. So we established that. You don't hear a limitation there, do you? For surely I say to you, whoever, who? Whoever says this mountain be removed, cast in the sea. Now here's the key. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Yeah. He will have whatever he says. Sometimes we're taught to say it and say it and say it again. In the case of my wife, I knew in my heart that if I kept on praying, it would throw me into a form of something that would probably be more in agreement with unbelief, waiting for it to change, right? I'll hit some of the same things again sometimes. Sometimes it's not a method. It's where faith is. Sometimes there's a reaffirming of authority. It's like hitting a hammer on a hard rock and it breaks. You say, I said you leave, you get out, bam, bam, bam. It would be good to stick in that line of prayer. Or in your communion time with God, thank you, Lord, for just the faithfulness of who you are and your desire to make things whole. And I thank you for the great privilege of carrying the kingdom and releasing faith over these situations. I prayed for people and seen that. I travel a lot, so I get the great privilege. I go back to churches. It's countless. There's no way that I could even repeat all the scenarios of people when I go back to a church that were healed within a day or days of after I left. It's countless. I don't preach on it because I feel like it'll take a sense of aggression out of us sometimes, and we won't just go for right now, because right now I want right now. I want right now. And sometimes that, as they headed down the road, they were healed. We've used that one again and again. The lepers heading down the road were made whole. And they're not always healed right away. Remember the lepers? And I'm thinking, yeah, I sure remember the lepers. I've leaned on them old boys a lot too. Jessalyn.
Okay, so, you know, we're all in a process of growing and understanding God more, so our faith is growing. Like, I know that and I see that and I know I'm coming to that place. Right now, my faith is really small, so if there's a sick person in front of me and I pray for them, it's still going to be like, I hope this will, you know what I mean? Like,
no, but in your confession right now?
But is that okay?
It's totally okay.
Borrow someone else's faith?
No. I'm not even cutting you off. Watch this. In your confession, what you're saying is, in humility, it's almost like the dad, help me in my unbelief. What you're saying is, look, I know there seems to be a place I'm still growing, and it seems like a struggle with me, but there's no struggle with you. You love people, and you want to heal. And I'm going to get to know that, so I ain't backing down. I'm going to keep on praying for the sick. There's a grace in that. There's actually a statement of faith in that.
Amen.
In that. Or you're just going to go, wait till you're ready. And when are you ever going to bust out of a phone booth and be super Christian? Right? You grow up in him in all things. So what you said was very precious to me. You already have every reason and every right to see a sick person pray because you have the conviction that God wants to heal. So every time you step out, what you're challenging is that God wants to heal through me. And God, I appreciate it. Now watch this. You're not challenged by that. There goes the Student of the Year award right there.
I just said.
That's it. It's done. I said, you're getting the Student of the Year award. I said, every morning she's sitting there with her little books folded. She actually has her, it's cute. She has her hands crossed every morning at 9 o'clock, and everybody's talking and sitting, and she's just sitting there with her little leg crossed and her hands, and she's just Student of the Year. Serious. And now she just missed the break. She's done. She's done. Condemned. Done. No Student of the Year. Boo. No. That wouldn't even be Jesus, would it? Oh, I'm having fun with you guys. Oh, my goodness. Pray for deliverance. Come on. Okay. You're still in the runnings. Look at that. She got her posture and she's trying to win my heart. Look, she's got her posture back again. Good student. Good student. No, she has been. She's been like, I was joking with her the other day about it. Did you say that to them? Did she just say that to you? Oh, that is so funny. It's the first thing I thought, too. So what you just said, Jessalyn, about that is good. Now, here's what you have to understand and protect your heart in. So if you pray for somebody, don't be deceived and say, well, see, it's because I really have a lot of doubts and they're not getting healed. And if they say it's the same, right? Here's what you start doing. All of us. This is for all of us. I just got a phone call on the phone yesterday. Remember Consuela asked that question a while ago, and I was really addressing it strongly, and that wasn't a reflection on you. It's just the content of the question. The question's a very critical question. It carries it carries a heavy connotation. We have to be very careful. I have heard this scenario so many times and say, well, Sister so-and-so was the most godliest woman I've ever known in my life. And if she died, you know, God obviously chose, because if anybody would be healed, it would be her. And all of a sudden, we're taking people and raising them above Scripture. And you might be amazed, because it's a paradox in the sense we're to follow people as they follow Christ, and we're to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited promises. But we're not following after flesh. We're not going to ever raise flesh and flesh's experience above truth. Truth calls us to a higher place. Does that make sense? That's why I use that example about my own life. But here's what we want to make sure, because I just got a call yesterday from somebody on the phone, called me and said, look, we're struggling receiving, and da-da-da. It throws me in a paradox, because I'm praying on the phone, they're saying we're struggling. And I said, well, I don't know that you're struggling. I said, you know, it's the will of God to heal. You're just saying you just prayed and the pain didn't leave right away. So what's wrong? And now it's throwing them into all these questions. So they're calling me to pray so the pain goes away. And then I don't know what's going on with that right now with where my heart is, because that happens a lot. And a lot of times I'll pray aggressive and things and good things will happen, and not always. But lately in my own mind is even thinking, man, the message descends. And I'm saying, God, am I thinking too much? So I'm in my own wrestling on some things right now, because I'm like, God, am I thinking too much? Because I want to pray for them and see them healed. But then again, it sends a message that, well, see, he's where you're, we're not. We need to call Dan, da, 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 whether we're doing something wrong. See, as long as you keep thinking you're doing something wrong, you'll never grow in faith. Because you're never really believing. You're just going face value. If you don't see it, it ain't happening. So if you'd have prayed for my wife, you're in trouble, because she's still sucking on that respirator. Right? Be real. So if you pray for somebody in the street and the pain doesn't leave, and then you feel like you're failing and you're not in faith and you don't believe, and then you're like, man, I just misrepresented the gospel, and I don't have no spiritual power and authority. See, you can't do that. You look at the person and you say, hey, I appreciate you giving me the time to pray for you. Man, it says this, if I lay hands on the sick believing, they'll recover. God is so good. I'm expecting change in your body. That's not a cop-out. I'm sincere. You look them right in the eyes. And watch what you do, Jessalyn. You say, thank you for the honor of letting me pray with you. It's a great privilege today to pray with you. And you turn. And when you turn, you say, Father, thank you for the kingdom in me and stepping me out in this to where you're moving and healing and restoring. I thank you for your goodness. I've had people come up to me that I've prayed for that I never saw the result in when I prayed for them, come up to me after the fact, a week, month, whatever, two people in the same week, month later or two, and woke up healed with no pain and never had the situation ever again. Amen. I just went back to a church 2 weeks ago, and a family that I met a long ways away at another spot drove there to be there and brought their parents so I could pray for them. Why? Because when I prayed for her, she had a lifelong situation, her hip and legs, and it felt a little different, but it still was bothering her. She said when she went home, it just totally changed. It's been healed ever since. She has no problem with it whatsoever. It's totally normal. It was probably in a 36-hour period. You're the one representing the kingdom. Faith is like a plug plugged into the power.
Oh, got to get illustrative here. Oh, this is scary. Dean, this is scary.
Where's the switch? Okay. That's faith right there. Oh. So you plug into faith and the power's flowing, and then you look with your eyes and say, wow, I guess God's not moving. Wow, it didn't work. Man, I don't know why the pain didn't go away. I wonder why it's not working. Well, maybe it wasn't God's time, or maybe I did. I guess I'm just not believing. And you unplug. Faith is not a plug you plug in and plug out. It's something you live. You live by faith. Faith is the position of your heart to receive what he accomplished. You don't change your mind. We've changed our minds so much about so many things. Because we change our mind, then say we're praying for Dean for the fifth time. And it's a plug. We're plugging in and out. Now we're just trying again. Instead of settling God's will and seeing his situation for what it is and driving that thing out like hitting a hammer over a hard stone that's got to break, we're just, well, let's try again. And you've reduced prayer now to a method, so you're going to try to pray another scripture, maybe another verse, maybe get a little catchy and pull in an Old Testament prophecy and blend it into a New Testament promise. Or maybe wave, and I'm being a little facetious, wave the gold flag instead of the blue. Mary, sorry, I know you've had your hand up a while. Before the break, you had your hand up. I was just trying to finish a point to go and break. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. It's really fine.
Yeah, I wasn't testing your love for me or anything.
No, I'm sitting here thinking, like, as people, we always put a degree on things. Like, some people won't even pray for a headache because, well, that's not even major, so I'm going to pray for a headache. Because, you know, you can pop an aspirin or whatever to take care of that and rely on that. But if it's cancer, whoo, cancer, well, that's a big thing. And one of the things that the Lord showed me, or the Holy Spirit showed me, it doesn't matter what it is. And many times when I pray for someone, I don't even ask what they have. I just pray and come against whatever it is, because whatever it is, I don't care what title or label it has.
Totally good.
It's against the will of God.
Right. And the natural knowledge, what Mary's saying is, the natural knowledge of their condition could actually stumble your soul because of the way you see what they're going through. That's what you say.
A bit ago was, there's many times I prayed for people and didn't see things happening, and it doesn't matter because he's still God and still his truth, still his word. And I've had many people come back later, a week, 2 weeks later, go, hey, do you remember when you prayed for me? Most times I don't remember. Or I do, and like, well, you know, what's up? And they'll tell me, well, you know, day 4, day 5, pain-free, whatever. Amen. Praise God. It does, whatever it is, the situation is, it should not change. If it does belong in the kingdom, it doesn't belong. Right. So no matter, because we put a degree, and I was sitting there listening, hearing like Christopher Alam would say in Africa when we were there, he'd go, you know, devil power, chicken power, God power, superpower, and they would scream that.
That's how he would teach, yeah.
And that's how he would teach. So no matter what.
What's important in what Mary's saying is that's why you have to understand the will of God and know you're rightly representing the kingdom and can't put it on any other thing, or you won't be able to walk out what she says. What she's saying will just become a Christian cliche or a rhetorical thing. And this has happened in times past. Praying and just saying, not even asking how they're doing or whatever, and just saying, okay, well, just take heart, honey. We prayed. We believed. Everything will be cool. Praise God. No, you have to believe that. You have to have the integrity to believe that and understand that it has nothing to do with them. There's no conditions binding. Jesus is in us. He's flowing through us. We lay hands on the sick. They recover. And with all your heart, you believe that. That's what she's saying. So you have to hold on to the sincere side. The time I prayed for my wife when she burned herself, I was really pursuing to know God more and move more in Him. And when she got burned in the kitchen, it was right after church, the kids were there, they were sitting on little stools and we were all talking, and it was one of those cherished times, where treasured times, where we just came from church, we were talking about something in the Lord, and my whole family's there, and it was just neat. And all of a sudden she tips the pan and the grease splashes across her hand, and it's ah! And we didn't grab ice, we didn't run, not against ice, you could grab ice and not be unspiritual, we just didn't. I just got heady. And I'm aggressive and I'm hungry and I just rah, and I prayed, rah, and I mean, I prayed all these promises and scriptures, and it was like, man, it just, something felt wrong. It was one of them teaching moments where I knew something wasn't right. It was one of them teaching moments, God, and I said, Lord, what's going on? My wife said, here's what she said. She did the faith thing we're all teaching to do. She's crying, she's in pain. It's okay. I mean, you prayed and I believe, and it'll be okay. And I thought, it is not okay. This thing is getting bigger, and just felt like we were a million miles from God. Something was wrong. And I know God gave me that impression, because if He didn't give me that impression, then I'd be saying we're living by our feelings, and I'd be contradicting what I just was teaching. It's not that. I knew something was wrong. It caused me to inquire. I said, Lord, what am I doing? Why am I feeling this? What am I missing? It seems like I'm missing something, like something's so out of order. He said, Dan, you're so zealous and so aggressive to pray everything you're learning that you forget the very reason you can pray what you're learning. And I cried and knew immediately it's because He loves my wife. It's not because I'm praying all these scriptures. And I'm telling you, that's the number one place we get trapped. Just praying all the scriptures, because we recognize need through the scriptures. We recognize what is God and what we're taught isn't God. So we attack what isn't God with the scriptures. And it becomes the tool by which we're trying to get help. And the Lord said, Dan, you forget the very reason why you can even pray and believe these scriptures. And I started to cry because I take this thing real serious. I love when he fathers me. I started to cry and I said, I was standing right in the kitchen and I said, Lord, you love us so much. If your love wasn't for real and you didn't love us, I wouldn't even know what to pray. I wouldn't even have these scriptures. Forgive me, God. I so thank you for your love, for my family, for my wife and I. And as I'm doing that, my wife says, honey, oh my goodness, all the pain, it just went away. It just went away. She's all excited and I'm excited. And I'm like, yeah. And I said, Father, I just, and Holy Spirit talked first person from the Holy Spirit and referred to Jesus as a separate person. It was cool. He said, Dan, don't praise him yet. It's Holy Spirit said to me, as the person of Holy Spirit, he said, don't praise him yet. Jesus loves it when his people go for the finished work. And I went, oh my goodness, you don't even want the effects of this spill or accident on her. You just want to take this all away because this stuff is all covered through. Oh my goodness. Because he knows how I think and he knows what the... So I started to thank him for that and she started screaming like she was reburned. But it's because she was watching the burns disappear. So the biggest blister vanished right in front of our eyes. Right away. So when that stuff starts happening to you, it marks you. And you know what's possible, but watch. The first time I prayed, it was bad. Nothing. Still in pain, getting worse. And I said everything right from all the wrong places. It was zeal. It was zeal. It didn't even have nothing to do with it. Just because of all the things I'm learning. Now I have a game plan. I'm applying my knowledge. That's not what we're doing. Do you get it? So when I asked the Lord to father me, what am I missing? He said, you forget the very reason why you can even pray these things. That's why it's a big deal when you do or don't struggle with receiving God's love. Because faith works through. So if you're struggling with God's love, you're automatically reducing the gospel to a method by which you get help. And then he has to continually prove his love. And it's almost like challenging God in every event. And the more it doesn't happen, the more you question love. And if it does happen, well, I guess he does. Next time we'll see. You got to settle he loves you through Jesus. Faith works through what? That's why identity is the biggest deal. That's why we spent the whole school almost on that whole topic. The other time I got a call from an administrator at church when I was pastoring. And she couldn't even stand up. And she said, Dan, because I have a lot of zeal in me. I'm a pretty excited fella. But your knowledge isn't what changes the world. He changes the world. Knowledge can puff you up. It's caught me a few times. Love edifies. I remember going to a church feeling like somebody. I wore a nice black suit and the church was struggling. We're so glad you're here. Oh my God, God is using you. God is moving through you. I'm thinking, yes, he is. I didn't even realize how twisted it was. I'm thinking, yeah, he is. Service is going on and the music's right. The pastor's prostrate where I should have been. And I'm just standing there and I'm getting a word of knowledge for a lady so clear, so detailed and so specific. I was like, here we go, man. You're rolling, God. You're going to light this place up. This is awesome. And I had some things in me that were not good for down the road working in me. And I didn't even have an idea. I'm just feeling good in my nice black suit and I'm looking handsome. My wife said I look like a Ken doll and I thought, yeah. And I'm thinking the Spirit of God is upon me. Because he's anointed me, praise God. So he gives me this detailed word of knowledge. Music's still playing. The atmosphere was amazing. And I stood up the pulpit and I'm going to like pull the trigger now. And I'm going to say, ma'am, God is in this place. He just showed me this. I want you to step out, blah, blah, blah. And I was just going to start flowing like I always would flow. I went like this. I went. And I just wanted to cry. I couldn't talk. I had no ability to speak. God froze my ability to speak. That's how much he loves me. But in my fellowship with him, I'm always asking him to father me and keep my heart protected and don't let me in ignorance and in anything, in deception, be anything less than what he's created me to be, et cetera, et cetera. And I used to tell Holy Spirit, kick me in the butt if you have to, but don't let me get off the beaten path of truth. Watch what God said. He said, see, Dan, you couldn't even talk if I didn't let you. I couldn't even speak. I went, I was froze. God didn't even let me talk. Whew. You talk about humbling you real quick. And I cried so hard. And I was confessing sin of pride. And oh my gosh. I had everybody get up and I confessed and cried. And I told them what happened. And I was letting some things seep into me that weren't healthy. And I told them what happened. And I was crying and I felt so broken. And I looked at the lady. I said, see, it all started. I got a word for you. And I got all excited because I'm thinking, you guys are saying, hey, man. I'm thinking, yes, I am. And God gives me a word. I'm like, woo, here we go. Train's rolling. And I said, there's a place of humility. There's a place of knowing His love. There's a place. It's not just about gifting and God's role. And I said, it was starting to get in me in a weird way. And I said, like you, ma'am, He showed me that da-da-da. And she starts bawling and gets broken. And God still touched her with that word of knowledge after things got aligned. I'll tell you, the worst thing that could have happened is me not to have a relationship and an intimacy asking Him to father me and keep me straight and then just move in that gifting, because that would have set a deeper snare. If God wouldn't have been there to freeze my voice, I'd have that would have became more of a stronghold, because, woo, He's really rolling now. And the next church I went, I'd have felt more what I was feeling. It was a weird thing going on in me. You follow me? It was the second time that that happened to me. And it shook me bad. And I cried. And I said, God, strike three, you're out. Now, I know that's not the gospel, but there was a thought that sobered me there. I thought, I don't need this strike again in my life. I don't want this. This is not a good thing. And to my knowledge, I haven't been corrected or been exposed in that area. And thank you, Jesus. It's not a good thing. You don't want to go to speak and not be able to speak and have something like that be seen in your heart. It's not good. Amen. For the reason of, if God doesn't stop your voice, how's that getting exposed? So I really love Him for that. And that's why relationship is huge. I could tell you several stories where He caught me like that and stopped me and stuff because of our relationship. If you just have knowledge and don't have relationship and you're just living in gifting, you won't be hearing those fathering things. And that's why people get so in trouble, because they're not hearing Father. One of the best prayers you can pray is, father me. I thank you that I'm your son and I ask you to father me. Say whatever you have to say. Do whatever you must do. But my heart is to never miss you, misrepresent you. I don't want to live in the flesh. I don't want to live in pride. And I'm more confident in your ability to keep me than my ability to fail. So I'm not going to focus on failing. I'm going to run and I'm going to run hard. You keep me on course. Thanks for loving me. That would be an awesome way to continue to pray. I'm going to run. I'm going to run hard because my trust is in you. And I believe if I trip, you'll catch me way before I fall. And you'll keep things straight and you'll protect the body of Christ. And don't ever let the gospel be profaned through my life or reproached. I want to live beyond reproach. So father me. But I'm running hard, trusting you have me. You get it? Come on, that'd be a powerful way to pray and stay in union and communion with God. I'll just drive and say, thanks for fathering me. I appreciate you, Father. Because every time I call Him Father, I'm saying I'm a what? I'm a son. It makes you teachable. You'll hear the voice of the Lord. If you must. Okay. I don't know if I need to. Well, let me John 14 real quick. Just skipping a stone real quick. We all know this scripture, but I want to read it. Verse 10, John 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly or truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Man. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask, listen to this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You read that through the scriptures of faith that we just read. That's an incredible promise. Look at John 15, verse 7. Now, this is a key to me. This was big in my own personal life from the time I've been saved. Because I personally don't believe you can walk in the place we're teaching without filling your heart with the Word and yielding to the Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You say, well, faith works through love. It does. And God sent His, so loved us, He sent His Word. So the Word of God is the love of God for me. Do you understand? So faith in the Word and love, it's all the same to me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Why? Because in the hearing of the Word, God's will is revealed. And faith comes through knowing Him. Faith is found where the will of God is known. True? Where did it ever say that faith is found where need arises? Come on, we have tons of needs. Faith doesn't come through the need. Fear and anxiety does, usually. Faith comes through knowing Him. So a lot of times we pray, it's just because of the trouble we're in. Anybody can pray. The prayer, anybody praying doesn't move a mountain. It's the prayer of faith, knowing God in the situation. That's just simply what I'm saying. Now watch this. If you abide in me, that means dwell, live, and remain in. If you abide in me, and my words live, dwell, and remain in you, you will ask what you desire. Why? Because if you're living that way, you're not going to ask for weird things. You're one with Him. You only do the things that please Him. You're not asking for weird things. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so you will be my disciples. Do you hear that promise? You show me a limitation there. Except us not abiding. True? Come on, you can't find any limitation there. Okay, I would go to some of the epistles real quick. Just two spots real quick, and then we're going to try to drop this stone and not skip it anymore. We'll drop it in the water and we'll go to a new stone. Verse 14 of James chapter 5. Man, this one is amazing. Is any among you sick? Well, watch this. Is any among you suffering? Well, let him pray. That's amazing. He's calling you to Him, to fellowship. Watch. Is any cheerful? Well, let him sing psalms. It's the expression of the heart. So if you're suffering, you're praying. What's your prayer? Help me, God. Please help me, God. No, it's probably more of a communion and union if you look at a lot of the Word we've taught. But still, God, I know You love me and I thank You that this thing won't crush me. I thank You that Your grace is upon my life. It's getting your eyes on Him. Remember I said your biggest challenge and your biggest fight isn't the devil, it's submitting to God in the face of trial. Especially when you feel certain ways. It's your biggest challenge. Is any among you sick? Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Well, if you couldn't tell somebody you weren't feeling good because you were confessing it and taking ownership of it, that scripture wouldn't be here. So let's not get so weird with this thing that we can't tell people what we're going through. Well, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to give it power. Seems like your head's already hurting. How about talking to me? Seems like your back's already aching. How about talking to me? Well, I just don't want to claim it. You're not. You're just telling me what you're experiencing in the light of what you know God's promised. That's just talk. Come on, we've gotten strange with that thing. And it's just strange. Come on, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. Well, if you're not going to admit you're going through something, why would you ever call the elders? You're just always healed waiting for the manifestation. You're just always healed waiting for the manifestation. So you'll never call the elders because you're healed waiting for the manifestation. It's okay for you to take that position in your heart, but what it's implying is there's a time where you've been praying, you've been suffering, or you can't get out of your house. If you really study that, it might even be a shut-in, somebody that can't get out of their house, and you're calling for the elders. You're saying, look, I need to help. I hear some of these old men of faith teach it out where they say, look, if your faith doesn't seem like it's working, grab a hold of some believer, somebody in the body of Christ, and hook onto their faith and go for the ride. Look, man, this thing's trying to eat me up sometimes. I feel like I'm this and that, but I'm doing my best to understand and stand, and I know. Would you pray with me and believe with me and pray the prayer of faith over me? Because a lot of times when you're praying for other people, it seems for yourself, it's a little harder in the sense that I'm not trying to give this place, but it just seems that in our lives, because we're the ones feeling the pain, we could pray for somebody in pain and sometimes see a lot more results than when our own body's in pain and we do a prayer for ourselves. A lot of people say, I see others heal, but I don't do well with myself. A lot of that's because you're fighting with the sensual side of what you're going through and how you're feeling. And you're praying, and right in the face of praying, it's still throbbing. So then it's trying to reduce what you're praying to a method, and all of a sudden this side of your mind says, it's not working. Well, let me try this. Bam, it's not working. Well, let me just enter into fellowship. You can even take some of the things we teach about communion, receiving. Let me just go into fellowship with God and receive His love. And all of a sudden you can try that rather than be that. You follow what I'm saying? It just gets weird. That's why knowing Him, nothing passes that. I mean, it's just beautiful. Watch. Is any among you sick? I want you to try to find a limitation in this. Well, let that person call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, what?
Will.
I have that circled. And I have this all orange because it's a promise. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So what raises him up? The prayer of faith. God doesn't even say his power in that sense. He's actually saying the prayer of faith is my power. It's the same. That's amazing. Remember how I plugged in the plug and the fan just is running, right? You unplug the plug and the fan stops. Faith is like the power. Does the fan work? Is it created and designed to blow air? Is it working now? No. We plug it in, it's the power source. It's faith. Okay? Boom. Unplug faith, you unplug the power, you unplug the fan, it's created to work, it's there to blow, it's waiting to blow. Until it's plugged in, it's not working. It's the same way with faith. When you start saying in your mind, well, I guess God's not healing. Well, I don't know what's wrong. Well, I don't know why He didn't heal when I prayed. That's one of the most detrimental phrases in the church. Say, I'm not sure why He didn't heal. Not sure why everybody doesn't get healed. Man, we need to start seeing people healed without being in some weird denial place as if, hey, everything's fine. I'm talking a viable, it's the will of God to heal. So I pray for a little child, and they're still wheezing, and they're still shaking, and cancer's still aching their body, and I hand it back to the mother. I have to be mature enough to say, you know what, God? It's so awesome that I got to pray for them in Jesus' name. Because if I lay my hands on the sick, they recover, and I thank you for the prayer of faith saving them. Thank you for strength returning, and thank you for wholeness. God, you're so good. What an honor. Not, I wonder why they didn't get better. That's one of my personal biggest challenges, because I want to see everybody healed right now, because I see that in Jesus' life, and I just want the little boy to get up and be okay and say, hey, Mom. That's my biggest challenge. I'm just being humble and honest. That's my biggest struggle personally in the area of healing, is when they're not healed immediately, because I don't want to just lean on, and I'm wrestling through that. I'm being very honest in my mind, and at the same time, my mind's saying and my heart's saying, well, when do you just believe God? So I'm very careful not to just preach out as the leper's headed down the road and God doesn't always heal right away, da da da. No, I'm immediate, suddenly, there's things that need to move. At the same time, when you preach that, you have to understand in your own heart that there's a place to release faith. And there's a place where you feel like you're striving, or you feel like you're starting to turn this thing into a works or a method. You got to shake yourself and say, look, this isn't anything I can do. It's already done. And I just believe you love them and it's your will to heal them. And cancer is no match for you, God. You are way bigger than cancer. And personally, I'll reflect on a couple memories, things God built in me. You know, every once in a while, I'll get the flash of that Muslim girl's face looking, that spirit looking at Jesus, terrified. I'll be like, you are so freaked out by who you are. You know, it just stuff stirs you. You get what I'm saying? But you got to regroup. You got to release faith, because here's what James says. Watch. Because in the scripture, you could read it and you could argue the point that he's not talking about immediately. Listen to the language. You lay your hands on the sick and the sick shall or will recover. Will recover. Well, that could mean through the night, technically. Yes. But I don't personally purpose to read it that way. But at the same time, I don't throw that away. So in my own personal life, not to confuse you, I want a whole lot more immediately's and suddenly's in our lives. So that's why I preach the way I preach. And that's why I say, hit it again. Man, if you didn't see when I was just at a church, I said, you know, how many of you guys, you feel total change healing your body? People raise their hand. How many feel some change? People raise their hand. How many feel no change? Listen, surround those people that feel no change. We're going to pray right now. Father, thank you. Bam. Okay, check your bodies right now. How many of you? I was just in a church this weekend, went around. There was a handful of people standing, raising their hand. We prayed. Every single person that raised their hand, we went around, was totally 100% healed. Every single one. Now watch this. They got so full of compassion and so excited, and all these people, one lady had nerve damage, one lady needed hip surgery, one man had an MS symptom through his legs, there was all kinds of stuff. It was all gone across the board. One lady that was having trouble walking was jogging. It was fun. One lady had a wrist tendonitis and a real bad wrist, and she was no pain whatsoever. Watch. Compassion rose in the people, it seemed. They're looking around at people that didn't stand, right? And they said, well, we want to pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, man, pray. They, can you pray for her? She didn't stand, but she... This was weird. Everybody we prayed for, it was four of them maybe, that didn't stand. We prayed for that didn't stand. Nothing changed in their bodies. And then you could create a theology. Well, see, they didn't ask. They're not open. Everybody else stood. They should have stood when they stood. But see, the Bible doesn't teach that. It says that a believer walks in a priesthood and has the right to pray. So if you know a friend's sick and hurting, why wouldn't you have the privilege to say, listen, are you feeling any better yet? Well, I want to pray for you. But watch, because of the experience, it seems to suggest that something was blocking. And if you're not careful, you'll teach through that experience, and you can't find that in the Word. So I had to reevaluate that in my mind and how to present that so that isn't what people are thinking. And I have to try to protect all that stuff because that's all in the room when you're praying for the sick. So then I started sharing, and then we attacked some other situations because there was two people. We saw nothing change, and yet we saw, I don't know how many people totally, completely healed. So then what do? You have to gather them in a circle, and you have to explain what faith is. And you have to look at those people that don't seem to be healed. And sometimes they have tears in their eyes because how come everybody got healed but me? And you need to protect all that and keep people in a good place. And then I got the church to surround those couple people, and we prayed the prayer of faith over them. See what I mean? And release them in an amen to God. Thanks for what you're doing in their life. Thanks for restoring. That's not defeat. If not, you're going to get heady, you're going to get intellectual, you're going to get rational, and you're going to entice a lot of voices and bring a lot of things in that aren't here. You're going to bring a lot of things into here that aren't here. Don't do that, okay? Because that was a weird experience for me. I'm just being honest. Because it seemed like those people that didn't ask and stand up, it's like there was no flow there for them. That cannot be what happened. Just because it seemed that way. You can't say, well, because it seemed that way, that's the way it was. That can't be what happened. There's something else going on. So we're just going to pray for them. We're going to believe because that's all we know to do. You get it? And a couple of them had responded then, but there was two of them that nothing changed. That just drives us crazy to where we have to turn detective and start turning stones and come up with 22 reasons why. Serious. That's we feel like that's our place. No, our place is to pursue Him, to know Him. It always goes back to this, guys. You can get tired of hearing it if you want, but if Jesus touched that lady's eyes down on the eastern shore, would she see? And where does He live? And who are we? The body of? And Christ in us. The hope of, so the Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's not our prayer and what we're saying and doing. It's the Christ in us that makes her see. But if Jesus touched her, would she be healed? Yes. You show me one place He refused to touch somebody that asked. So the problem's not with Jesus, I promise. We're growing up into Him. Yes. You have to camp on that and not be offended. Okay? So the prayer of faith, what? Will save the sick, and the Lord what? Will raise him up. Sounds like that could be overnight too. You could raise that question and argue that point. I'm just telling you, don't just make it real loose-end and embrace it. Now, David Hogan openly preaches that. He says, when do you just believe God? Stop living out of your eyes. Live out of your heart. He said most of the miracles they have down there, over three quarters of the supernatural recreative miracles they have over in Mexico or down in Mexico are 1, 2, and 3 days later. That's an amazing place to stand in, because most of us shipwreck in that period, in that switch right there. When you pray for somebody that has boils all over their body and witchcraft's all over them, and you pray and they're writhing in pain, and most of us don't understand, to look at your team and say, okay, let's head to the other village. And they're still laying there moaning. He tells stories like that all the time. Like, and you know he's telling the truth. He's so passionate and so, and he reads, as you go, heal the sick. He said, that one right there, he said, I could hold you here for days telling you the miracles. Thousands, he says, thousands. And he says, every part of the human body healed or recreated by the power of God. They have testimonies for every part of the human body healed or recreated. They have a girl that busted her head open, or a boy, and the brains of the child were actually laying on the ground, on the rock. They grabbed the boy, I think that was a little boy. They grabbed the boy, ran and laid him on a bench, and worshiped Jesus and honored him for his blood for 20 minutes. And they just kept worshiping. They were already in worship service. They didn't make a big scene over the boy. They just laid him on the bench and kept worshiping Jesus. And he said that boy sat up, pulled on the dad's pants and said, come on, Dad, can we go? I'm really hungry. He said his brains are still laying over on the rock. But God just give him some more. That's what he says. God just give him some more. So see, you wonder if you get to a place where God is so much bigger than all that stuff, and it's not about the technical, yeah, but his brains, and oh my God, his head split open, oh my God, it's his brain. Well, when does it ever become, oh my goodness, it's God. Oh, it's God. But we're taking him to God. Yeah, but his brains, but he's God. Yeah, but he's dead, but he's God. See, that has to get so much bigger than the brains on the rock. And be honest, the brains on the rock are way bigger. Come on, be humble. That's why we're growing and learning. That's not a bad confession. When I get alone and cry to God, I would say stuff like that. God, the way he looked was way bigger. I need this revelation to get so much bigger than. That's humble confession. That's how you grow. Not, that's a bad confession. Don't confess that, brother. No, so sit in denial the rest of your life and lose all your loved ones because you're being spiritual. No, cry for mercy and ask God to grow you in this thing. Because the truth is, the brains on the rock is way bigger than God in most of our lives. And now we're moved by the brains on the rock and we're applying all the scriptures that are supposed to work. And then when they don't, we wonder why. Come on, just be humble and honest. That's what happens all the time. I was telling you about a lady, an administrator called me. She was hurting bad, called Dan. And in my mind, I said, okay, oh, sure, I can pray for you. Yeah, it was very presumptuous. Sure, I'll pray for you. Father, I thank you right now, bam. And I thank you, Father, bam, and bam. And I got all done, and it just had that same feeling I had in the kitchen. It was just like God was trying to father me, and I'm like, yeah. And Holy Spirit whispered, it was so funny. He said, hey, Dan, can I minister now? And if you listened in and heard me pray, you'd have thought I did everything amazingly right. Wow, a guy can pray. Holy Spirit wasn't too impressed. He's like, can I get in on this? I really love her.
I'd like to help her. You're putting all your faith in your ability to pray, buddy. I just want to touch her. Would you let me?
Holy Spirit asked me if he could minister now, which means my motive cut him off. My zeal and all my faith in my ability to pray cut him off from moving, and he's sitting right there wanting to love her. But because I represent God in situations and so do you, he was held back. Can I minister now? I cried again. I do a lot of that crying and repentant stuff. I cried again. When Holy Spirit says, psst, can I minister now?
You feel really impotent. And you go, woo! And I said, sure. I said, hey, I said her name on the phone. I said, look, I said, I just prayed all aggressive and zeal, but you don't need that prayer. You just need him, honey. You just need Holy Spirit. He's here. Here, just have him. And she went, oh, oh, oh. And I said, look, honey, you don't need me anymore. Goodbye. I love you. Click, hung up. I just got off the phone, cried.
got myself, you know, in a good place with the Lord, and thanks for loving me, and got all mushy-gushy with him because he's bothering me. And I'm learning. I want to do right. I'm not condemned by that. The only reason you cry, you don't want to miss God. And sometimes you cry because of the rude awakening of just how presumptuous we can be and how knowledge can try to rule our lives instead of knowing him. Found out that she was on the chair stuck for 4 hours. God wooed her and loved her. And she instantly straightened up and had no pain. And the presence of God got so strong in her, he began to love her. She went and sat in the chair and was on the chair 4 hours in the presence of God. And she said it was just absolutely transforming. Had nothing, nothing, nothing to do with me. In fact, nothing to do with me. 1 John 5, real quick. Hallelujah. Whoever, who? Whoever. Boy, that's all inclusive. Don't you like the way God writes? Thank God he didn't say except for and put your name there. Whoever, right? Whoever believes is fully convinced and persuaded. Just by a lot of the questions we ask, we prove that we're not persuaded. We're still questioning and challenging. Like there's a line of questions you can have concerning healing that never challenge the root truth of healing. They're just seeking more understanding to grow in that truth. But there's a lot of questions we ask that reveal we haven't settled the score. Does that make sense? So if the questions reveal and you haven't settled the score on this, then it's not a fully convinced place. You're still searching for a foundation. You're still searching for a foundation. And please, what I passionately said earlier, please don't let human experience ever have the right to challenge God and dictate God's word. That is the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest error that people make, the church makes. Defining God through human experience. It's the biggest mistake. You define God through Jesus. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that's God's anointed one, that's the Messiah, that's the deliverer, the Christ, the one that's anointed with the ability to anoint, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. So it's all about loving one another. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is one of them places he reverses it. He doesn't say, if you love me, love one another. He says, this is how we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So what he's saying is it's impossible to sincerely love God and keep his word and not love one another. So he actually flips it and says the obvious evidence that we love one another is when we love God and keep his commandments. Because if we're loving God and keep his commandments, we have to love each other. Or you have a Christian confession, or you say you know God. John's so raw with his writing. He says, if you say you know God and hate your brother, you're a liar. Stop lying. Get a grip. That's what he's saying. It's not my sermon. It's in your Bible. If you say you know God or love God and you hate your brother, yeah, the truth's not even in you. You're just lying. Get a grip. He says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness till now. You have a Christian confession, but not a Christian revelation in reality. It needs to take over your heart. Your Christian confession doesn't take the place of your relationship with God, ever. Okay? It's just straight talk, man. That stuff will spare you, save you. Watch. This is how we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Faith works through what? Through love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And look what his commandments are. Not burdensome. For whatever, what? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Or has overcome. It has already overcome the world. It's our what? Faith. Our faith. Wow. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. So contending for the faith is keeping yourself in a place where you're walking in the finished work of Christ. Contending for the identity you've received now that the Son has come and raised from the dead. Your faith isn't even to fight the devil. It's to see who you are in the equation. Your faith has nothing to do with combating the devil. It has to do with your identity that releases the authority that crushes him. Do you understand? The faith, contending for the faith. Do you understand the armor of God is your received identity through the finished work of Christ? So when we contend for the faith, when we continue in the faith, when we live in a like faith or a one faith, that means we all understand who we are because of him. It pertains to your identity, not the fight. Do you get it? Okay. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Okay, so whoever believes, there's a little scripture that just popped into my mind just to show you how inclusive God is. Look at John. Well, go back real quick to Mark. I'm wrapping up here. Real quick to Mark 11. Now, I rarely do this, but I have myself so set up for it. I'm going to tell you where we're heading tomorrow, and I know it'll sound funny to some of you, but I know we're going there. Serious. Because we've been talking, and Brian and I have been joking about fasting. See, we're laying such a... about what the mind does and everything. Fasting is one of the most important things to get your mind whipped in order. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, right out of the gate, because that's where we're right up onto that right now. So fasting and even praying in the Spirit and the gift of tongues and praying in tongues and building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. We're going to talk about tongues and fasting tomorrow. Okay? So be here and don't bring a lunch. No. I'm just kidding. Be here and don't bring no food. No skillet in the morning. No, I'm kidding.
I won't be here.
Okay. Look, see, we're fasting and she's not even coming to school. I shouldn't even told anybody. Tomorrow there'll be like five people here or something. Everybody will be at Denny's having prayer meeting. Everybody will be at Denny's having Bible study over a grand slam. Oh, God. And we'll be here preaching on fasting. I'm just kidding. Listen, let me wrap this up. I got 5 minutes. We read this already, but I want you to hear some two words that are key to me. Okay? Have faith in God, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Now, we covered this morning, but I want you to see something that I didn't talk about. For assuredly, I say to you, who? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have... Whoa. So we have whoever receiving whatever. Do you hear any limitation there? There's a reason those words are in there like that. God writes on purpose that way because it's unlimited. He's trying to teach us faith through this. Whoever and whatever is automatic place of faith. Whoever, whatever. Go to John 5 quick and I'm closing. That means I'm in sight of the airport. No, it means it's almost 12 and I'm going to quit. John 5. John. Okay? Remember? Whoever, what? Believes and says, receives whatever. That's on purpose. Whoever, whatever. You got that? Come on, that's important. That means you and no matter what. Doesn't matter if it's terminal cancer. Doesn't matter if it's brain diseases. Or doesn't matter if it's whatever. Watch. After this, it was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now they're in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Why would God come and move the water? Because he's keeping the healing covenant alive. He's Jehovah Rapha to the Jewish nation. He's Jehovah Rapha. They're under the law of sin and death, and in his mercy, he's still healing and moving the water and showing that it's his will to heal and restore. He's keeping the healing covenant in front of the people. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Right? Now watch. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then what?
Whoever.
Oh, what?
Whoever.
Sounds like that fella in Mark 11. Oh, my goodness. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of... Oh, my goodness. Sounds like that situation in Mark 11. So we have a whoever was healed of... Oh, case closed. Jesus wins. I judge for Jesus. Do you get this? Come on. Look, whoever stepped in the water was healed of whatever. Now, do you think if you look at all Old Testament scripture, which that's still under Old Covenant, law, sin, and death, it points to new. It points to Jesus. It's all to point Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Whoever, whatever. Now you have Jesus. Whoever says, believing, has whatever. It's undisputable. It's for us to grow into and not talk ourselves out of. Biggest enemy right here, unrenewed. Right here, I'm telling you, shoot the thing. If it's unrenewed, kill it. Let it die. Don't even let it scream long. Just kill it. Unrenewed mind, enmity to God. God's not against the mind. It's the unrenewed mind. It's the yell but mind in the wrong way. It's okay to question God from a humble heart. Not contesting as if you have issues. That's not teachable. That's not humble. God gives grace to the humble, resist to the proud. You have something to say?
Just a quick announcement. I need to know by tomorrow whoever's going to come to the session Monday night.
Oh, Monday night. Okay. Monday night. You remember what Monday night is? There was a lot of people that wasn't here. Pastor Don and Lori thought it might be nice if the class come together. And we're having a little luncheon or something. We're having supper together.
Yes. 6:30 Monday night.
So they're coming. They're going to make us food. And we're just going to come. You can bring your spouses, whoever, and just let your families get to know one another and people in the school. It's just a time to get together. And so they're doing that Monday, but he needs to know who's coming. But we're closing with this. Whoever and whatever means you and everybody else and whatever we're going through. So we're growing into this thing, right?
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Come prepared. It's going to be good.